Let's talk about this. Have you ever thought about the cause of communion? Now, immediately you go to your mind and you go to the cross of Calvary, and you'd be very good in doing that. But you know, the cause of Calvary and the cause of communion is actually before time began. God, in His infinite wisdom, chose to create man. And in creating man, God, in His infinite wisdom, knew that man would sin. Now, the question is it a loving God that created man to, and would allow him to sin? Well, I have a better question for you. Would it be a loving God that created a man who knew he would sin, but not yet create a way for that man to be delivered from his sin? It would be a very cruel and inhumane thing for a God to create humanity, knowing that sin would enter in, but not give them an avenue by which they could be redeemed. That, my friends, is an unloving God. So the communion was before God, before there was time. So this is not new. And you know what? Christmas was before God, before there was time. Christmas didn't begin 2,000 years ago when the wise men began to search for the king under the guidance of the star. Christmas is far older than 2,000 years. But we tend to think inside human terms. We tend to think inside of cultural terms. And my friend, the cause of Christmas is timeless. And so let's look at the cause of Christmas. It begins in human time in the Garden of Eden. We go back when God, in His wisdom, with the presence of the Son and the Holy Spirit, created man in His own image. And what does His own image look like? Well, one is eternal. Every man, woman, boy, and girl will live eternally. We're eternal beings. Now, the choice we get to partner into is where we get to spend eternity. So God placed eternity into our hearts. Also, I can't explain it, and a lot of authors have written on it, and I've seen it, and I've experienced it, but I believe that God has put a fingerprint on all of humanity, that even in the most hardened heart and jaded mind and unsure situation, there's something in the heart of man that knows there is a creator. Now, how that creator is expressed in those things, that's a wrestling. But there's something in the heart of man that says there's something greater. There's an accountability. There's a love. There's a provision. And so for us, it begins back in the garden. I apologize. I'm hoping to give this away for Christmas. So if you'd like, whatever it is, you just let me know. And I might could parse it out and give you a little to everybody. It says this. Now, the serpent was more crafty than any other wild animals the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from the tree of the garden?" You know, the adversary has been questioning the word of God since the inception of mankind. As a matter of fact, the adversary questioning the word of God is actually older than time itself. It began in the realms of heaven, where Lucifer desired to be worshipped as God and began to question the sovereignty of God and the holiness of God. And so he brings that same bag of tricks to the woman. Excuse me, we're going to work through this one too, I guess. All right. I was actually feeling better a minute ago. Maybe I'm allergic to y'all. I'm just saying, trying to work through it. And he asked her, he said, "Did God really say?" And that's really the challenge of humanity today. Did God really say it? And then humanity has parsed it one more time. Well, maybe God did say it, but what did he really mean by what he said? You see, it's an age-old question. Did God really say it? And the woman replied, said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die." It's pretty clear cut, isn't it? God gave them clear instruction. And what's so amazing to me, and I can tell, this is a wonderful story, and because she had the whole garden. Yet the one thing that God says don't do, it's the one thing we want to do, isn't it? If you want your kids to do something, just tell them not to do it. Oh. Thank you. Thank you very much. Wow. Yeah. That's awesome. Thank you. It's an age-old question. And then the adversary's lie is this: well, you surely will not die. You surely will not die. And this is why. Because God knows when you eat of the fruit, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. You see, it's been the age-old desire for Satan to elevate himself to the position of God. And if he can't do it, the lie to mankind is, you know what, you can do it. And the truth is we'll never be elevated to the place of God. No matter what we do, no matter what we believe, no matter how good we are, no matter what sacrifices we make, the creation can never become the creator, no more than a son can become his father's father. But the adversary lies into the minds and the hearts of our society, and he lied into the mind and into the heart of our spiritual mother, Eve. And when the woman saw the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some of it and she ate it. She gave in. She blew it. And on top of that, she gave it to her husband. And guys, I'll say this. I say it every time I teach on this. She was deceived. Adam chose. I believe Adam could have had a choice to be the leader that he was called to be, but he failed as well. And they both ate it. And the consequences was this. Then the eyes of both were opened and they realized they were naked. Because you see, up until this point, clothes were not necessary and death had never touched the creation. But now sin has entered in and humanity is now cursed with sin. And Adam and Eve realized that before God, a holy God, a sinful man and woman are now naked before him. And so they sewed fig leaves together to try to cover up themselves. Through the sinful disobedience of Adam and Eve, sin touched us all, and we live under the consequences of sin. You see, the cause of Christmas, the cause of communion, is because our spiritual forefathers, Adam and Eve, sinned, and we are all contaminated with that same sin. And so there had to be an answer. There had to be an opportunity. And we go on, Romans 6:23 tells us this, for the wages of sin is death. If we're all sinners, then this is the natural byproduct. This is what we earn because of our sin. And death can mean two things. In the spiritual context, primarily it means eternal separation from God. In the physical context, if we make the wrong choices, you just might die from those choices. I had the chance to drive out to Abilene yesterday with my wife, and there were some people making some terrible choices. We were coming home, and I look up in my mirror, and you've probably seen one of these before. I see one single headlight coming up real fast. Kind of like an X-Wing fighter in Star Wars. And I told my wife, I said, "Hun, hang on." And I just stayed where I was because I knew this guy back here, there was nowhere. And I was just like, "Lord, just don't let him hit me." And he came around us on a motorcycle, and I guess he was doing somewhere slightly north of 100 miles an hour. And I thought to myself, well, he's racing to the hospital. And then I thought to myself, man, I hope if things go bad, I don't have to watch it. And then I thought to myself, this passage, for the wages of sin is death. Listen, speed limit's 75, you're doing 105. And you know what the consequences of things going bad in that sin are? Death. Because that cat wasn't going to survive that, no matter what happened. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, and we are all sinners because of our forefathers. Left in our own sinful state, we are lost and hopeless, but God loves us and would not allow that. You know, the true gift, the true meaning of a gift, it's not the attitude of the receiver, it's the attitude of the giver. A true gift is given without consideration of deservingness. I don't know if you've been reading, but there's kind of this wave sweeping across America here during the holidays as people are going in, and Kmart seems to be the one that's doing it the most. Maybe Kmart's the only one that does layaway anymore. Can you guys remember how cutting edge layaway used to be? Man, you could go in, well, I can give you $5 and you'll keep it? I remember layaway. I worked at the Kmart here in town, and layaway, I want you to know, for you as the consumer, was awesome. For those of us behind the counter, that's a beating. Absolute beating, man. Anyway. But there's a wave going across America, and it seems to be happening a lot in Target, that people are randomly going and paying the layaway bills for people. They don't even know. They're just... A nurse reported this week, and I believe she was in Illinois, that at work, her local Kmart called her, and she says, "Hey, we just want to let you know that your layaway has been paid off." And she goes, "What are you talking about?" She said, I haven't even been there. And she goes, well, your layaway's been paid off. By who? She goes, well, I don't know who it was. And the lady had like $200 worth of Christmas gifts in layaway. And she this was her quote. It restored to me the spirit of Christmas. And in Missouri, just this week, a lady, a waitress at Cracker Barrel, she had some regular customers. Apparently, they go in there quite a bit. And this young lady was trying to support her son on a single income. And the car, you can see the picture of the car if you read the news report, and it is tore up. It's one of those cars that you see and you go, how is that even running? But her car, she had a tow strap tying her hood down. You know, and she had, there was more duct tape than other things. Well, this couple who'd been going into this Cracker Barrel knew her. And they went in that morning for breakfast. They had breakfast and they left a $20 tip, which she was just blown away by because it was super generous. And then the manager goes and says, hey, I need you to come out here. Walks her out to the parking lot where that couple were giving her a new to her car. You see, love makes a way. Love sacrifices regardless of the value, regardless of the response to the sacrifice. Can I just say this? If you really want to give a true Christmas gift, you find someone who A, doesn't know you, or B, doesn't like you, and you give them something, irregardless of the outcome, irregardless of their appreciation, because you are giving it because what? You love. Be an expression of love. And you know what God does? Is God made an expression of love towards us that leads us to the communion. And he loves us so much, he gives us the right to go, I don't want your gift. I don't appreciate your gift. I don't even believe in your gift. You see, Christmas and gift giving has been around a lot longer than 2,000 years. Romans 6:23 tells us this, what? But the gift. The gift. Whose gifts? God's gift. To who? A sinful mankind. The scripture says, while we were yet enemies of God, Christ died for us. The gift. What gift? A Walmart card? A Starbucks card? A new to you car? No. The gift was what? His one and only son. But the gift of God is eternal life through his one and only son. That's what he's given to us. And that's what we get to offer our world during Christmas. And then he goes on and he calls us to something. God calls us to evaluate the virgin birth, the sinless life, the atoning death, and the resurrection of his son, Jesus Christ. You see, the communion calls us to evaluate this. Do we believe in this? Can we live in this? Can we walk in this? And more importantly, can we die in this? You see, the world and inside the church and outside the church, there's a lot of debates today. And one is the virgin birth. Is the virgin birth important? It's absolutely important. Because if Jesus wasn't born of a virgin, then he was born of a man. And if he was born of a man, he's a sinner just like us. And if he's a sinner just like us, my friends, we have no hope. The virgin birth is not up for discussion. A sinless life. Did Jesus live a sinless life? Yes, he did. Even as a teenager, you know how teenagers are? Yeah, even as a teenager. What about a two-year-old? You know how two-year-old. Yeah, even as a two-year-old. Jesus lived a sinless life because you know if he didn't, he's a sinner just like me. If he's a sinner just like me, I'm without hope. You see, the communion calls us to evaluate these things, to stand firm on these things, because these things aren't nearly as popular as they once were. But the truth is God's word is never really all that popular. And another truth is this, is God's truth is never based on popularity. It's based on truth. It goes on, God calls us to evaluate ourselves and our standing before him. Are we his by faith in Jesus, or are we yet lost in our sins? It calls me to evaluate, am I a child of God? Does God know me by name? Can I claim his promises? And today I can say yes. With humble gratitude, I can say yes. My friend, how about you? Can you say that? John 14:6 says, Jesus answered, and he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus says that the pathway to peace with God, the pathway to relationship with God, the pathway to heaven, the pathway to a life filled with purpose, is through him. The communion calls us to consider that. Is that true? Or can you put a coexist sticker on your car and say, hey, all paths lead to God? Well, my friends, you can say that, but it doesn't make it true. Well, you can say that, and Jesus is a liar. I mean, we get to choose that too, don't we? And we go on, Ephesians 2 tells us this, it's for by grace, grace and mercy. Grace is when you receive what you do not deserve, like a new car as a waitress at a Cracker Barrel. Mercy is when you do not receive what you do deserve. Grace and mercy. For by grace you have been saved through faith. Faith in who? Jesus. In what? The virgin birth, the sinless life, the atoning death, and the glorious resurrection. For by faith are you saved. It's not of yourself. It's a gift. It's a gift. Not of works. If all we give this Christmas are to those who we feel earned it, have we really given? Have we sacrificially? Have we Christ-like given? No. Because the truth is we never earned what God gave to us. We never earned this gift. So that what? No one can boast. I'm glad there's no braggarts in heaven. Don't we all like to brag a little? Come on. You may not brag as much as some of us, but we all like to brag. I like having that trophy. I'm not going to lie. I saw Wes yesterday. He says, how's that trophy look on your campus? I said, awesome. He says, where is it? I said, well, it's on top of the teaching platform. He goes, really? I said, yeah. So if you don't have to work Sunday, you can come see. But you see, in heaven, there's no boasting. Because the only thing we have to boast about is the gift. The gift. We go on, God calls us to evaluate our lives. Are we living in such a way that we honor the sacrifice made on our behalf? Are we living in such a way that honors the sacrifice? And we talk about that a lot. Because we want to live in such a way that we honor our veterans. We want to live in such a way that we honor our parents or our grandparents. But the communion calls us to evaluate. Are we living in such a way that we honor the sacrifice, the gift that was made on our behalf? And then the climax to the question in John 14 says this, if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me so that you may also be where I am. For you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. You see, the climax of Christmas and the communion is this, is one day heaven. One day, either individually or all at once, we're going to lay aside all of the challenges of this life. And we're going to step into the presence of God, not for a year, not for a century, not for a millennia, but for eternity. Where we'll get to enjoy the gift personally and face to face, intimately, forever and ever and ever. I don't know about you, but that's a really good gift. I've had some wonderful gifts in my life. But my friends, nothing parallels the gift of God. Not only for this life, but for the life that's yet to come. For the value in living a life, for the value of sacrificing for others, for the value of looking beyond all the trials and tribulations of life, for the value of walking courageously through unknown days and nights. Nothing equals that gift. The communion calls us to that. And now we come to the contemplation. The Bible tells us as we come to this table, we should come in a prepared manner. If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, my friend, why not today? God is offering you the greatest gift that you could ever receive. The challenge lays before you. Will you receive the gift? Because God is a loving God and He'll not force it upon you. He loves you enough to let you walk away from it. But my dear friend, don't walk away. Let this Christmas be the first Christmas unlike any other Christmas before. The Bible says, by faith, through grace are you saved. And today you can be saved. You can be a friend of God, not an enemy. Heaven could be your home instead of a hopeless, uncertain future. For those of us who claim the name of the Christ, the contemplation comes to us. We need to come to the table with clean hands. If we have sin in our lives, we must confess that sin and ask God to forgive us. If we have forgiveness to give, my friends, we need to give that forgiveness. If we have forgiveness to be sought, my friends, we should seek that forgiveness. Do not come to the table unworthily. Let's bow for a word of prayer. And we're just going to have just a moment of prayer. And if you're here today, my prayer for you is if you do not know Christ, my friend, would today be that day? You don't have to leave the way that you came in. I'm not asking you to join this church, and I'm not asking you for a dollar of your money. I'm not asking you for anything. Just this. Would you consider the gift of God today?